are listening to Mile High Report Radio with your hosts, Adam Malnati and Ian St. Clair. Get involved with the Denver Broncos conversation at milehighreport.com. And now, it's time to get to work.
Adam, I'm hoping you and fans of the Denver Broncos. So anyone listening to this podcast, hit me up on the social media, on the Twitter machine. And I'll, this is also for the old man, for the old school fans. Help me understand how Steve Foley is not in the Denver Broncos Ring of Fame. Help me understand. And if you just had a vision of Tom Cruise as Jerry Maguire, help me help you. Just help me. Help me understand how the hell Steve Foley is not in the Broncos Ring of Fame.
So I'm looking at his note. You sent me a link that I opened up that is just, you know, it's stats, Broncos stats, and it's career interceptions. I'll read this to you. Maybe this is why. And I'm just looking at the top two names. And Steve Foley, with 150 games, had 44 interceptions. That is the most interceptions in Broncos history.
So I'm going to pause you right there.
Okay.
Steve Foley is the all-time leader in interceptions for the Denver Broncos. Right.
I'm trying to, so
you, and he is not in the Ring of Fame.
Right. Yes. I would like to
know, for all the listeners out there, did you know that Steve Foley was indeed the all-time interceptions leader for the Denver Broncos?
Oh, well, our
and
listeners,
he's not in the Ring of Fame.
Our listeners are rabid fans, and of course they knew that, and they're devastated by it. You asked me to try and help you understand why, and I'm going to give you maybe this is why, and maybe this is why. I can't imagine it would be, but maybe it is. Goose Gonsolin, who is number two on the list with 43 interceptions, so just one fewer, only played in 94 games. So he did a lot more per game. I don't have a reason. Nobody has a reason. It doesn't make any sense. There are guys that should be in the Ring of Fame, just like there are guys that should be in the Hall of Fame, and it doesn't make sense. And I think maybe this is our own little Hall of Fame issue, only it's not to call it little, by the way, because the Ring of Fame is more important than the Hall of Fame. I don't know. This is a miss, right? This is a miss by the Broncos, and I'm not sure what. I can't give you an answer. I'm sitting here trying. I mean, no, there's no legitimate answer to your question. None whatsoever. I mean, he's got, my numbers might be wrong here. He's got 18 more interceptions than Louis Wright, who you and I will argue is the best cornerback in Broncos history. And that includes Champ Bailey, who is going into the Hall of Fame. 18 more interceptions in, what is it? 16 fewer games. I got very little here. I have nothing for you. I'm sorry.
And the thing that bothers me about it is there's another safety they elected 3 years ago into the Ring of Fame who cannot touch what Steve Foley has done for the Denver Broncos. He cannot touch what Steve Foley has done for the Denver Broncos and what he meant. And the thing that the other aspect that bothers me is the Broncos, they brag about their history. They brag about their tradition. And one of the things that they can brag about is having some of the greatest safeties to ever play in the National Football League. To have Billy Thompson, to have Goose Gonsolin, to have Steve Atwater, Dennis Smith, John Lynch, Brian Dawkins.
Yeah.
I mean, they played for the Broncos.
They did play for the Broncos. You're right.
And to keep one of them off, on top of putting in John Lynch, and you and I both have said this, and I'll say it again, it's Sully's the Broncos Ring of Fame.
Yeah, it hurts it. It makes it less.
Because the sole reason they did it was to beat the Hall of Fame. They wanted to say, well, he's in the Broncos Ring of Fame before he was a Hall of Famer. Because I think when they put him in the Ring of Fame, they thought that year he was going to get inducted in the Hall of Fame. So they tried to beat the Hall of Fame voters. And instead, they
cheapened it.
They really did. And on top of that, you keep a guy out who is the all-time leader in interceptions for your franchise. I was coming up with comparisons before we started recording. When you keep an all-time leader for your franchise in a statistical category out of your Ring of Fame, that is akin to keeping off Rod Smith, Terrell Davis, John Elway, Jason Elam, Simon Fletcher.
Yeah.
Randy Gradishar.
Von, did I jump the gun on Von there? I mean, Von's going in.
Von's absolutely going to get in. But, I mean, the only thing that, I mean, is there, and this goes out to the listeners again, is there a beef that we don't know about?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question. Maybe we missed something. I mean, maybe Steve put his finger in somebody's face and said things that he shouldn't have said on his way out the door when he retired. And so, you know, he's now persona non grata, but I've never heard anything like that. Is this not it's interesting. He seems like a guy who kind of is lost in Broncos history. And I'm not sure why. Is it because he was so closely followed by Steve Atwater? But that doesn't make sense because it really wasn't that close. Right?
It was 3 years.
It was 3 years
after
later.
Steve Foley retired.
So, is there a recency bias? Perhaps there's a recency bias. Maybe Broncos fans aren't as great at history as they like to think they are. Not to insult anybody, but I did sort of.
They blame him for Phil Simms going off in the Super Bowl.
I mean, maybe it's his fault that Phil Simms was so great in that Super Bowl. That Super Bowl was the first – that's the first Super Bowl I really remember. I think I was 5 when they played it because it was 86, right?
Yes, in Pasadena.
In Pasadena.
At the Rose Bowl.
But they played it in 87, right? It was the 86 season.
I think it's the 85 season.
No, because the 85 Bears was the 85 season, right? And so then the 86 season is when the Broncos played the Giants. And then the game was played in – so I was 6. I remember – okay, I'm getting there. I remember. I was 6. I was in kindergarten, so I had to be 6 because I was in kindergarten. We decorated our room, right? We put up the stupid orange and blue, like – you know what I'm talking about? The rings where you take the paper and you cut it in strips and you make the ring chain thing.
Ring chain.
Yeah, the ring chain
Elf
thing.
Elf did it.
Yeah, fantastic stuff. And then, you know, you come back on that Monday and you know, everything's taken down because it wasn't so great. I don't remember Steve Foley being the reason that the Broncos lost that game. So
no, he wasn't.
And even if he was, let's pretend that he was. Let's just, for argument's sake, say that it was Steve Foley's fault. Does that still keep him out of the Ring of Fame?
No. And I really don't understand it.
You know, maybe it's a question for Mace. Andrew Mason... Broncos
Andrew
historian,
Mason or even Jim Saccomano.
Or even Saccomano, yeah. Jim Saccomano would be a great person to ask.
He's the member of the committee to elect members to the Broncos Ring of Fame.
Is it about name recognition?
And I get the recency bias. When you list off players who should be in the Ring of Fame, the first one to come up is Ed McCaffrey. Understandable. He's fourth all-time in Broncos history in receptions. He's fourth. Steve Foley is first all-time in interceptions.
You know, it's interesting. We're talking about a safety not getting into the Broncos Ring of Fame, and it's very much akin to a safety in Steve Atwater not getting into the Hall of Fame. It's the same thing. It really, they do parallel each other in that safeties are underrepresented in the Hall of Fame, and I suppose you could make the argument that safeties are underrepresented in the Ring of Fame because Steve Foley is not in the Ring of Fame.
So I ask again to our listeners, please help us understand how Steve Foley is not in the Ring of Fame, and it needs to change. It needs to change. It needs to change in 2020. I mean, I totally understand why they inducted Champ Bailey. And Champ Bailey is the first Denver Bronco in history to be inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame and the Broncos Ring of Fame in the same year. That's incredible. But it also speaks to how poorly represented the Broncos are in the Hall of Fame. But that's a different debate. And they wanted to leave this year to be Champ Bailey's, to be completely Champ Bailey's year. Get in the Hall of Fame, get in the Ring of Fame. It's all about him. In 2020, Peyton Manning is up. They may do the same thing, although Dave Logan said that Mike Shanahan is going to get in sooner rather than later.
I mean, Shanny,
if you're going to do Peyton Manning and Mike Shanahan, add Steve Foley, please. If you're not going to make it just about PFM and you're going to add in Mike Shanahan, please add in Steve Foley. This needs to be corrected. It needs to be corrected sooner than later. The same thing that we said about Simon Fletcher, that we said about Rick Upchurch. This needs to be fixed, and it needs to be fixed now. Steve Foley deserves, needs, and should be in the Broncos Ring of Fame.
Cannot make an argument contrary. I tried to play devil's advocate, and I was like, I got nothing. I can't find a reason. So I agree with you on that one wholeheartedly. And, you know, you said Mike Shanahan, and I thought to myself, Shanny's not in the Ring of Fame? Isn't he a guy that really should be in the Ring of Fame? Dan Reeves
Without
is.
Question.
I mean,
Without
Dan,
question.
Yeah, Dan Reeves is, and so Mike Shanahan's
is the greatest coach in Broncos history.
Yeah, I mean, Mike Shanahan to me is probably a Hall of Famer, except for his time in Washington. And even then, I don't think that negates what he did for the Denver Broncos. And in my opinion, he should be in the Hall of Fame as well. You win back-to-back Super Bowls, that's a big deal. It just is. So that takes us down a whole other rabbit hole that maybe we'll save for a time when there isn't anything to talk about because, you know, off-season football. Not that there's a lot to talk about right now either.
And before we get into current Broncos stuff with the OTAs, there are two other people, I think, from yesteryear for the Broncos who should be in the Ring of Fame. Bob Swinson, who was a linebacker for the Orange Crush.
Mm-hmm.
I would even throw out Joe Rizzo, but I think Bob Swinson is more deserving than Rizzo.
Okay.
The other one I think is even higher up than Swinson or Rizzo, and that's Riley Odoms. Riley Odoms should be in the Broncos Ring of Fame.
Give me your reasoning as to why. Like, give me your argument for it. Don't you know? Because I think a lot of people won't know the name Riley Odoms, and that's understandable. I kind of said, well, our fans are our listeners are diehard fans, and they know everything. But I think sometimes it's hard to just know who everybody is. So give me sort of your reasoning for why you think Riley Odoms is a Ring of Famer.
When you look at the all-time receptions leader for the Denver Broncos, there are names that you know. You know Rod Smith. You know Shannon Sharp. You know Demaryius Thomas. You know Lionel Taylor. You know Ed McCaffrey. You know Vance Johnson. Number seven on that list is Riley Odoms. And what makes Riley Odoms' accomplishments so incredible, he played in 153 games for the Denver Broncos from 1972 to 1983. He finished with 396 receptions, 5,755 yards, and
solid
48
career.
Touchdowns.
Yeah, solid career. That's a solid career right there.
He didn't do it with John Elway or Peyton Manning as his quarterback. he didn't exactly have Hall of Fame quarterbacks throwing him the football throughout the course of his career.
Well, just like a lot of people don't know who Riley Odoms is, I'll bet that most people listening couldn't tell you who his quarterbacks were. That says a lot.
One of them was Craig Morton.
Yeah, that's true. Craig Morton.
And then I'll take it even further. Mike Kliss had a great tweet, and I know somewhere Lori is...
What did you just say?
Cringing. But he had a great tweet. He said, he still says tight end Riley Odoms is the most overlooked for the Broncos Ring of Fame. That's where I disagree. I think it's Steve Foley. Steve Foley is the number one in interceptions in Broncos history. That's the most overlooked. Riley Odoms is seventh in terms of catches, but that's neither here nor there. Kliss goes on to say that Dave Kasper finished with 378 receptions for 5,216 yards and 52 touchdowns. Charlie Sanders finished with 336 yards, 336 receptions for 4,817 yards and 31 touchdowns for Charlie Sanders. Riley Odoms had 396 catches, 5,755 yards, 41 touchdowns. I have him as, yeah, he does, 41 touchdowns.
Huh.
So I got a little confused.
That's all right.
Both Sanders and Kasper are Pro Football Hall of Famers.
Yes, I that's true. Wait, Riley Odoms has, I would argue, better or comparable numbers in certain cases, and he's not considered, well, he's a Bronco, so Broncos don't make it to the Hall of Fame. That's just, I think one of the things I think is interesting is you can go through and you can probably find comparable players to many of the Broncos greats and go, well, this guy has better numbers than this guy, but he's not in the Hall of Fame. And the reason why is because of who he played for. And that's really frustrating about the Pro Football Hall of Fame. But the argument that you make for Riley Odoms to be in the Ring of Fame, I think is a solid one in that I think he's who threw him the football. I think that's a really good point to make there. Who threw him the football? You know, Craig Morton, okay. Was it, who else was it? I mean, nobody really knows. And he had a very, very good career. I think he deserves to be in. You've made some good arguments there for a couple of very deserving players in Steve Foley and Riley Odoms. I'm with you on both of them. I'm convinced.
Well, I'll list a couple of the quarterbacks. Obviously, Craig Morton.
Mm-hmm.
Charlie Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Ramsey.
Okay.
He didn't play with Steve Tenzi because Tenzi didn't play until 70. That would be pretty much it. Norris Weiss.
I mean, you could just start making stuff up and just nobody's going to know. People might Google it. Just Google it. Just Google it. I love that line.
Steve DeBerg.
Steve DeBerg? Mm-hmm. He was like 108 when he retired, right? Am I right about that? Maybe my numbers are off. He was super old.
Those were the quarterbacks that Riley Odoms caught his 396 catches from for 5,755 yards and 41 touchdowns.
In an era when tight ends didn't, I mean, let's be honest here. It wasn't the Shannon Sharp era. It wasn't, I mean, today, a good tight end. We could talk about Noah Fant, and we probably will a little bit here in a minute. But he's going to be an offensive weapon, right? We're not talking about an era of tight ends as offensive weapons like they are today. You know, Mike Ditka was considered one of the greatest tight ends of all time. I think he was more lauded for his blocking than anything else. I mean, obviously he was a good pass catcher and he scored lots of touchdowns, blah, 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 blah. But it's just, it was a different era. And he was clearly one of the best in his era and not in the Ring of Fame. That's a miss by the Broncos. And not in the Hall of Fame. That's a miss by the Pro Football Hall of Fame. But they miss all the time. So you almost have to kind of cut them a little bit of slack, right?
Absolutely. So I would like to see at some point Steve Foley needs to get in immediately. And then Riley Odoms needs to be right behind him. You know what's fascinating when you look at the all-time receptions leaders for the Denver Broncos, who comes in at 16th? And I think it speaks to just how insanely valuable and good he was for the Denver Broncos.
Who?
Floyd Little.
Really?
A running back is 16th all-time in receptions for the Denver Broncos.
Well, he is the franchise, so you have to, you know, give him credit there. It's always interesting to kind of look at these lists, too. I mean, Terrell Davis is 24th. That's pretty far down the list, right?
It's not as close as 16.
Not as close as, you're right. I'm just noticing. I'm just looking at numbers here. It's interesting. Interesting who you have on there. I love that Shannon Sharp is number 2 on the list. I'm a little disappointed that he wasn't passed by Demaryius Thomas. Not because I wanted him, you know, I don't like Shannon Sharp, but I think that would have made Demaryius Thomas appear that much more important in Broncos history, which I think he gets crushed by people all the time for all of the drops. But I mean, his numbers with the Broncos were incredible numbers, and it's too bad that his career sort of petered out there and they, you know, had to sort of move on. But had he been able to surpass Shannon Sharp and move into second, I think history-wise, people would have looked at his career a little more favorably. I'll get through it. Don't worry.
And I said earlier in the podcast that McCaffrey was 4th in receptions. He's actually 5th. He's behind Lionel Taylor. And speaking of Lionel Taylor, the numbers he put up
in 96 games
is insane.
I mean, you look at those numbers and go, wait a minute. In 96 games, he did that?
In only 6 years. So from 1960 to 1966, Lionel Taylor played in 96 games. He had 543 catches for 6,872 yards and 44 touchdowns.
If you think about it this way, if you look at his numbers, 96 games, that's a little less than half of what Rod Smith did. Let's just say you doubled his numbers. He played double the games. He'd have almost 1,100 catches. He'd have over 13,000 yards. He'd have 88 touchdowns in his career. Now, I'm not saying that you could double those and that's where it would be, but if he had had a longer career, if he had played more games for the Broncos, his numbers would have been Hall of Fame numbers without question. But they're not, because he didn't play enough, I guess. I don't know. The Hall of Fame is stupid.
Well, and at this point, the Ring of Fame is stupid. Because that's for true. Some reason, Steve Foley is not in the Ring of Fame. The Broncos' all-time leader in interceptions is not in the Ring of Fame. So I ask again to our listeners, please help us understand how Steve Foley is not in the Ring of Fame.
And while
you do that, you can also rate and review us on Apple Podcasts.
That would be great. Check us out. Go over to iTunes. Rate, review. We love those. I would actually argue, and this maybe will put a nice little bow on it, instead of trying to help us understand why he's not in the Ring of Fame, let's help the Denver Broncos make the decision to put him in the Ring of Fame. Let's go ahead and start a little miniature campaign here at Mile High Report to get Steve Foley into the Ring of Fame. I could get behind that. I think that's something that we could probably have an effect on that, especially since we know a few people. You know, we know a couple of guys. So I think we could do that. I think that would be a good way to go. Tweet it at Andrew Mason and Jim Sacamano, and let's see if we can make that happen. I think that would be fun.
And I'll do my part by writing a story on Sunday that asks that very question. Why in the hell is Steve Foley not in the Broncos Ring of Fame?
I think
that's
a great
idea.
And let's
get it corrected.
Let's do that. And then for right now, let's go ahead and take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about the weapons that Joe Flacco now has. All right. Before we went on break, I said I wanted to talk about the weapons that Joe Flacco has. And the reason I want to talk about the weapons he has now, Ian, is a quote that Courtland Sutton gave during OTAs that I just thought it really stood out to me. And I'm gonna read you the quote because it struck me as a second year guy who sees potential in himself and a potential to have a big impact on the offense. And so this is what Courtland Sutton said on if he thinks he has made a step forward in the red zone. I think personally in the red zone, I'm one of the biggest threats that DBs go against. Every DB that I played against or will play against will probably say the same thing. They might not show it, but they know. I'm a 6'4", 220 guy in the red zone. I'm a threat no matter where we're at going in. I'm definitely looking forward to capitalizing on that more this season, being able to put more in the end zone and take advantage of that. Take advantage of what God gifted me with. This body, this size, this speed, the athleticism, being able to take advantage of that and use that against the 5'9 or 5'10 corner that we go against. I'm in. You got me. Courtland Sutton is my man. I'm in. Big dude ready to mash on some small people. I like it. I like it.
The thing that stands out to me is his confidence. And I think the reason he has that confidence, and I know there's a lot of people who are going to cringe when they hear this, the reason he has that confidence is who his quarterback is right now. And I get that people don't want to think that Joe Flacco is elite, and I'm not saying he's elite, but there's a reason I read that quote on our last podcast from Jeff Heuerman. He knows this offense. The best Joe Flacco has been, even the year they won the Super Bowl, and he did that chuck and pray to Jacoby Jones. The best Joe Flacco has looked was in this offense, was in Gary Kubiak's offense. That's the best Joe Flacco has ever looked in the National Football League. And he's back in that offense. He even said the terminology is the same.
Yeah.
Now you're going to add a weapon like Courtland Sutton with that confidence?
I mean,
come on. And the rapport they're building up right now?
Yeah. So last season, you and I constantly, it felt like, talked about wanting Courtland Sutton to be the target. We wanted a little more chuck and pray, if you will. We wanted them to throw up those 50-50 balls. We wanted Case Keenum to give Courtland Sutton a chance to use his size, to use that 6'4", 220 frame to go up and take balls out of the air. And they just didn't do it enough.
We wanted 3-5. I remember it.
That's
three
right.
3-5 each
three to five
game.
A game.
Even if he doesn't get it, he's going to get a defensive pass interference on him.
And it was really more like they would do it 1-3 times a game, right? In a good game, it was 3 times. Whereas in a normal game, because they didn't have a lot of good games, it was once. And it's a weapon that they have, and I love that he sees himself as a weapon. But to take that even further, I love the fact that Joe Flacco actually has weapons around him. So I love the confidence in Courtland Sutton. I love that he is going to be, I believe he's going to be the go-to guy in the red zone, just looking at his size and listening to what he said. But I also love the fact that you've got Philip Lindsay and you've got Royce Freeman. You've got two solid running backs who have a lot of potential, who have shown some success, Philip Lindsay more than Royce Freeman, but I think Royce Freeman in year two will grow, will get better. I think that drafting Noah Fant, giving him that tight end, that security blanket that Joe Flacco loves to have, that he relies on, his Todd Heap, if you will, getting, you know, Courtland Sutton out there, but also Deshaun Hamilton, who is probably the most precise route runner that the Broncos have, and then Emmanuel Sanders continuing to be Emmanuel Sanders. I think that this is perhaps the makings of a very good offense. Now, I don't want to get too excited. I know it's OTAs. I know that it's you know, we have nothing to talk about, so this is what we're talking about. But this has been a pretty good offseason for the Denver Broncos. And now those rookies that were rookies last year are second-year guys. They're more comfortable in the NFL. They're more confident in their abilities. And Courtland Sutton, with that statement alone, proves that he's not even afraid to go out and say, I'm bigger than the DBs, and I'm going to be able to catch balls over them. That's something that's like putting a target on your back in some ways, saying, I can do this. I'm better than they are. I'm bigger than they are. I'm stronger than they are. go ahead and come at me, bro. He doesn't even care. I love that confidence. I love that he feels like he's the go-to guy in the red zone. And it was the question was a step forward, and he went 9 miles beyond that. It wasn't about being a step forward. It was about, I'm the go-to guy in the red zone. Sign me up. Where's the dotted line? Get me a pen. Sign me up. I want to watch that.
And to put all this together, on Tuesday, Deshaun Hamilton showed the same confidence, because on Monday, that's when Courtland Sutton met with the media on the second week of OTAs. On Tuesday, Deshaun Hamilton said this on if he has the mindset of being a top receiver. All of that wide receiver 1, 2, 3, if E comes back and all that other stuff, I think of it as I want the ball as many times as I can possibly get it. I want to make as many plays as I possibly can. I come in and I have the same mentality as Courtland, ready to step up. Obviously, E is coming back from rehab and his whole Achilles situation. Next man up. I have the same mentality as Courtland. I'm ready to do right by myself. I'm ready to basically just make as many plays as I'm called on to make and really be just on top of my responsibility. I can be like a splash player for us all season. That's just some of the standards that I have for myself.
They're saying the right things. You know what I'm saying? They're saying the right things.
And I think they're doing the right things on the field, because they finally have the coaches to put them in those situations, to give them that confidence. They now know the coaches are going to have their backs, are going to put them in the situation to have success, to be the best they can be, which is not the case the last 3 years. And the thing that really stands out to me, and I think it speaks to all of this, on the confidence, especially on the offensive side of the ball. There was a report that on Monday, Joe Flacco overthrew a ball 70 yards. He overthrew it 70 yards. We've been wanting quarterbacks to overthrow it at 10.
Just get it to the sticks, guys.
Think about that.
I know.
He overthrew a ball at 70 yards.
Now, don't get us wrong here. We want him to be accurate. We want Joe to hit his target. But
overthrow it at 70 yards?
Go ahead and walk 70 yards. Just walk it off and then look back and see how far away you are. That's
and then
a long
you
way.
It.
That's a long way to throw a football. And then look in front of you, that's an overthrow.
So can we get like at least 10 chuck and prays with Courtland Sutton?
I imagine they could probably do that often.
Why not do a chuck and pray with Philip Lindsay?
You know, I imagine they'll run a few wheel routes. I don't know that a chuck and pray is necessary with a guy who's like 4 feet tall. So...
Wasn't he about the same height as E?
Yeah, but do they chuck and pray with E? I guess you can. He's
got the speed.
He does have the speed. That's true. That's true. I think there's a lot of opportunity in this offense. And I know I sound a little bit overly excited, but I just think that there's a lot of opportunity here. And so I'm trying to temper it a little bit, but those statements, the way that things are kind of coming together, the confidence that the coaching staff gives the players, I think that this is going to be a better season than most pundits are going to give them credit for. The talking heads on NFL Network and ESPN, they're going to give them between 6-10 and 7-9, 9-7, something like that. That's what I'm guessing they're going to get predicted for, and I think they're going to be better than that.
What do you make of Bradley Chubb? On Friday, he was on Orange and Blue 760. And Steve Atwater asked him how everything's coming along, the new coaches, the new scheme. I won't read the full answer, but he said that at this point in phase three, so they had phase one, they had phase two. In phase three for organized team activities, which is what OTAs are, they're actually able to get on the field and do offense versus defense. This is the first time over the course of off-season activities that they've been able to do that. He said it's coming second nature for this defense now. What do you make of that that comment, and does it give you even more confidence based on what the offense is doing and what Courtland Sutton and Deshaun Hamilton said?
Yeah, I think, I love the idea that a guy like Bradley Chubb, who, again, he's going into his second year, so he's more comfortable in the NFL. He's a better learner at this point, right? Because you sort of learn how to learn. He's got better teachers than he had in his rookie year. I think that that's a fair assessment to make as well. And so he's learning faster. And so he's more comfortable, he's more confident. And just imagine a more confident Bradley Chubb opposite Von Miller, who doesn't lack for any confidence no matter what he's doing. And I think what you have is the makings of a very good front for the defense, right? The defensive front is going to be very, very good. And if Bradley Chubb is coming out and saying, we're getting it, we understand it, we're comfortable in it, then that means that things are going to be – I'm trying to sort of temper it. I'm trying to keep it a little more mild. But listening to the way that they talk, maybe I just miss football and so I'm getting too excited about it. But I see and I hear and I'm excited. I like where things are going. I'm not saying that they're going to be great in 2019. Maybe it's 2020 when things are really, really good. But you're going to see the makings of a very good football team in 2019.
And I totally agree with that. I think there's absolutely reason to feel excitement. And as you said, it's the end of May. It is organized team activities. I think the big question is still going to be the offensive line. And until we see it, until I see it in training camp and then again in the first couple of preseason games, so we can actually see the difference that Mike Munchak and Chris Cooper are making, there should be a little bit of pause. But in terms of everything else, with what Vic Fangio and his staff are bringing to this team already, there's reason to feel excitement. And that's something that we haven't had the last 3 years. And I mentioned it after Joe Flacco's introductory news conference, where unlike Case Keenum, Joe Flacco's confidence didn't feel fake. It wasn't something that you don't have to believe it. You don't have to convince yourself to believe it. And I think that's carried over the course of all of this. And I think it's because of Vic Fangio. And I think it's because of that no-nonsense Godfather approach that he brings, which is what this organization needed. And I can't wait to see what this team looks like come training camp.
Right, and that is definitely the place we're headed next, even though it feels like it's forever away. We're what, 2 months out? A month out? I mean, we're really not that far away from training camp either, so.
I don't know. If you look outside my window right now, there's 6 inches of snow, so it doesn't really feels like it's 6 months away.
Well, but you're going to have an early spring.
Summer. In the meantime,
how does it work?
Let's get Steve Foley in the Broncos Ring of Fame.
You've been listening to Mile High Report Radio. Get involved in the discussion at milehighreport.com. And as always, go Broncos.